This week's Big Brother Exit Interview is sponsored by our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores, they have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. rockauto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing the prices based on what the market will bear like the airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or an account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. That's the entirety of Big Brother. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or a daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And RockAuto.com's catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicles and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers, so why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Rob as a podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back with our exit interview number 4 on the season. And sadly, it is Kayser Rita who we are going to be talking to, who was voted out of the house unanimously on the 4th eviction of the season. Kayser, he gave him hell, gave a great speech last night, but sadly, it did not move the needle in this Big Brother house. We'll talk about it all here with Kayser. Taryn Armstrong will join us here in a moment. Of course, on Thursday night, we got it all started with our brand new patron pregame show. Had a lot of fun with Matt Scott, one of our newcomers. Took some calls last night from the patrons, getting you ready for Thursday night. We were all amped up, and then less amped up after the show with our recap on Thursday night. We still had fun with our panel of Melissa Denny, Liana Boris, and Josh Williams. A lot of fun stuff that we talked about on the podcast, even if it was not a fun episode, a Big Brother recap. All that's up at robhasawebsite.com. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or robhasawebsite.com/Spotify. All right, let's go ahead and bring Taryn in. Taryn, how are you?
It's mixed feelings, Rob. Yeah. I excited to talk to Kayser, also sad to talk to Kayser.
I know that's how we all feel, but that's it. It is what it is here with Big Brother All Stars and these evictions. But all right, I see that we have Kayser on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Hey, Kayser. Good morning. We're here with Taryn Armstrong, who you can't see. But Kayser, it is an honor to talk to you again. And we're all very frustrated that none of these players want to listen to that great speech.
You know, hey, Rob, it's great to chat with you today. Yes, I know. It's, you know, look, this this frustration is shared by me as well. And I've been frustrated for 4 weeks playing this game in the house. It seems as though I a lot of what I say has been just falling on deaf ears. Nobody really wants to take any action. And this is sort of a passive group of people. So I don't know what to tell you.
Kayser, it's so great to talk to you. Huge fan. How do you feel like, you know, you came into this game, you played in the original All-Stars. You talked a lot about how you feel like these players kind of suck. how did it feel? What was the difference playing this time around versus your previous times?
Look, it's like what I said during my speech. I really do like these people on a personal level. I think they're extremely kind, fun to be around. But honestly, it was a bit of a snooze fest when it came to the gameplay. I was hoping for a little bit more excitement, fireworks. And it's not about like you don't need people banging pots and pans and yelling at each other. But I wanted to see a little bit more dynamic gameplay, things where you see things kind of like being shaken up and a little bit of more back and forth. you know, the last time we played, you know, All-Stars, I, you know, and of course I've had the luxury of being able to be on both and compare, is you felt a little bit more on edge. You don't know what was going to happen. I think you saw a lot more gameplay that was above the fold. You start to see if when you have sort of a healthy balance of above the fold gameplay and also stuff that's happening beneath the surface, it makes for a lot more an exciting time, not only to be in the game, but to watch, I'm sure, at home as well. And so I think that was missing. And I think that's something that's come about in more recent times with Big Brother when it's, that's shifted. You see that in the last two seasons, even before this one, a large clique forms and everybody, there are people, there are elements who are people just kind of hunker down and bury themselves within the alliance and hope that they don't, you know, they almost float inside of an alliance, which is something that's new for me.
It's a floating alliance.
Yeah. Kaser, last night when you made that big speech, we saw before that happened that there was some talk from Ian to try to ask you to do that, do something like that to try to really shake things up in the house. Did you do that for any one particular person that was still in the game, or was that just your parting gift to the fans of Big Brother?
It was both.
Yeah.
So I was asked, not only by Ian, but Bailey, Davon, and Kevin. In fact, they kind of all were trying to nudge me to do something. I had mixed feelings about it because one, it was if you want my veracity and brain in this house, why are you not fighting to keep me? I understood why they just didn't have the votes. It was too, you know, it was cutting too close to the bone. And they didn't want to out themselves. So, you know, they're trying to protect their game, but what I tried to explain to them was, what are you protecting? You know, we're all out of runway. You guys are next. So are you guys going to squabble over who goes next out of the four or the five? So, that was kind of what it came down to. And then, as someone who's passionate about the game and has been a fan himself, nobody wants to see this kind of gameplay. Like, they want to see a little bit of a dogfight. I was tipping my hat to the fans out there wanting to say, I got you.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time trying to, you and Janelle both really, trying to get Bailey and Davon and a few others like Christmas to vote with you, over the last few weeks. But every single week, it seemed like they kept turning you down. Did you think about trying to pivot from that strategy at some point?
I did for a second. I was trying to think about, and that's why I sort of went and started speaking to Ian. I was trying to get the folks like Ian or Enzo. I knew that they had something and they sort of enjoyed safety within their position. So I wanted to find defectors that I think were somehow either entrenched within an alliance or part of a bigger block, and they were voting with them to see where sort of the weak links were. So I knew sort of the outer edges of the what was happening really fell around Ian, David, and Enzo. It was clear to me based on conversations that I was having, they were not in the know when it came to certain things. So you can find blind spots of information that were taking place and circulating within the house. And through that, you can sort of deduce who was sitting where. At that point, I realized, you know, those were sort of the weaker links. And that's where I could start plucking people out of that voting block. And that's kind of, that was my sort of plan B if I was to stay in the house.
Okay, sir. One of the things that's been really fun to watch this season was the rekindling of the relationship between you and Janelle. Now that you're both out of the game, that do you think that you will both continue to have that relationship be a part of your lives, even when you're not playing Big Brother?
I'd love to think so. I've never been somebody who's really great at I always tell people I'm a bad friend because, you know, I bury myself in work and we all get really busy. But, you know, certainly that's not okay. And this is something that I told Julie while, during my exit speech, was she asked me the same question. And I told her, you know, this question couldn't have come at a better time, really. And it's because I think I it's safe to say that I'm probably in good company when I say this. COVID and everything that's going on in this world has given us pause and has really caused us to reflect about a lot of things. And one is our relationships and our work ethic and our work-life balance and really everything. And so I think, you know, I told Janelle in this house while we were in there, and I said, I want us to reset. And I want us to go forward differently, because it's truly a shame. You know, I met her on the show 15 years ago, and she's one of those friends, and I think we all have them, where you could pick up right where you left off, even if you haven't spoken for years. Mm-hmm. And you don't get that gift all the time. And I have that with her. It's hard to describe. Like, we could, you know, I think, you know, what you see on TV, that fondness, that closeness, that sort of that natural connection is real. And that's something that I truly appreciate. And I hope that we can continue to foster that and remain great friends, because I do think the world of her.
I heard you talk a lot on the feeds, especially about like how you really came on the show, the first time, you know, because you wanted to represent where you came from and who you are, and send a certain message to the world, and that you felt like, it almost like you got the bat signal to come back this time, to do something similar. Do you feel like, and I know you haven't watched the episodes or anything like that, but do you feel like you were able to at least accomplish that goal of yours?
Again, as you mentioned, I don't know the details, but, you know, I feel as though if anything was aired, if any part of what was spoken about was given any airtime or any spotlight was placed on it whatsoever, assuming no one was offended by any of the sort of the controversial things that I think we spoke about. And it's sad to say that the stuff we were talking about was controversial. It really is. But I do understand sort of the climate that we're in today, and I think it's hard sometimes to talk about these things, but I felt as though we had to, at least for me. I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, everything was worth it. And that I felt I did what I set out to do. And I can proudly walk out those doors of the Big Brother house with my head held high. Not even knowing how everything turned out. I'm still in that bubble. I have no clue.
Just to put you at ease, that everything has been extremely well received, and all of the Big Brother fans, at least all the ones that we've spoken to, are incredibly happy to have this gift, to have you return to the show and bring your outlook and your perspective back to the game, because it's something that has been sorely needed over these last couple of years. Kaser, can you just also tell us, we saw the FBI hat come out last night. Were you holding that back?
I was holding it back. That was something that I was going to use. That was going to sort of be the signal for when I was going to transition the game after I took power. I was going to essentially burn the house down once I had the ability to do so. And that was when I was going to make sure that people understood that this game is no longer in their possession. So I never got to that point. Instead, it was a signal that I was retiring my jersey, and I wanted to have that iconic moment after I gave my speech to walk out that door and maybe give the fans a sense of nostalgia that maybe this is it. And it was a thank you.
So good. man. You're a legend. Kaser, you talked in the house about a lot about you're trying to figure out the house dynamics. I just wanted to give you like a little bit of a rundown. Tyler talked to you a lot about how he wanted to work with you in the first, you know, few days slash week of the game. He was being truthful. Cody had approached him, but it was a very brief thing, and Tyler was actually left out of the power structure in the first week for the most part. He was kind of included, but he wasn't in the core. It was actually Enzo, Cody, Nicole, and Danny that were the core four, they called themselves. And Tyler was a little bit on the outs. Cody was planning on targeting you before the safety sweep, but Tyler didn't know about it. Then as things expanded, you saw that, you know, the Memphis Alliance kind of came into play. There was another alliance called the Slick Six that included Bay and Day. And that's part of why they didn't want to vote with you, because they felt like they were in good with Cody and Danny and them. So you started to get it right at the end that there were these two different alliances that Cody in particular, but it was Cody and Enzo that were really at the core of both of them. Even though Enzo wasn't included in the Memphis one, he was enough included in it that he was in the center of it. And Cody was bouncing those two alliances off. However, rest assured, at least, that Tyler has been causing chaos within these two groups, and he's been getting one group to try and target Danny and the other group to try and target Bay and Day. Hopefully we'll see some excitement eventually.
Finally, I'm so happy to hear that. You know, I had, it's hard to get your bearings in the house, as you know, that's like stating the obvious. So I there were moments where I had with Tyler where I was like, I feel like he's being so genuine. I'm like, either he's extremely good at lying, which I feel like Memphis was. That was incredible. or this man is this guy is telling me the truth, and the sort of he was so genuine about it. And honestly, even on like when I was on my way out, he came to me in the storage room and said, "I want to let you know that I'm voting you out." And he said, "I have never, ever come up to someone and let them know that where my vote stands before I voted them out. This is the first time, and that's because I respect you so much." And so I know, and he's like, "I hope we can stay friends after this." And I know that, you know, we cultivated a real relationship. He's a really good dude. So I'm happy to hear that Tyler's going to do something. I think he finds himself in a situation where I think is unnatural for him, given what he was able to enjoy during his season, which was he built that big alliance. Like, he was part of a big block alliance that he never had, that was unwavering, and he got to ride it, you know, ride that wave to the end. And so I think he's going to find himself in a different situation now.
Yeah. He's basically been climbing the hierarchy the last 4 weeks. And he basically wrested control from Cody this week by flipping Enzo on Danny. It's been interesting to watch.
Okay. I know you got to run. Real quick before we let you go, was this it? Do you have any reason to return to the Big Brother house?
Oh, man. Maybe I'll come back in a different capacity. I think, it's sad to say, but, you know, I can't be someone I'm not in this house anymore. People know what I'm capable of. I think I was asked if I work for NASA 4 times. on the way out, Christmas asked me if I work for the FBI. So I don't know. I have to be unwavering when it comes to who I am in that house, because there's so much more than just the game for me. I really have to come from a position of strength in order to get my message across. And so those are the things that sort of are conflicting. With that being said, I think people will probably take the position that I suck at this game because I can't make it to jury. So I say that happily, because it's kind of funny. I don't know. I can't imagine coming back again in this capacity. But you know what? I said that last time. I said I'm back again, and here I am.
Yeah. Well, okay, sir. It was such a thrill to have you back. Thank you for spending some time talking with us, and we hope that we can talk with you again soon. Okay.
The pleasure was all mine. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Kaser. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, Taryn. There you have it, Kaser. You okay?
I just want like another 3 hours. Is that, can we call them back?
Look, not today, but I'm not saying no. Okay.
But Rob,
look, we'll see. We'll do what we can. Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. I know you got to get to the live feed update, Taryn. Thanks again. And I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All right, sounds good.
All right, there you have it. Kaser back. Oh, I blew it. I should have been like, what up, Kaser? All right, well, if he plays again, all right, well, we'll get that on the exit interview. All right. So, thank you so much for joining us here today. We still have a lot to come. I have a special Talking with T-Bird with Ian Rosenberger that we recorded this week that I'm very excited for you to hear. Of course, Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Taryn will have another roundtable on Saturday night, and we will be back with another Big Brother episode after the Sunday night episode. Of course, all this podcasting is made possible by the patrons of Robinson Podcast. Find out more about everything we're doing, including our new Thursday night pregame eviction show on Thursday, 1 hour before the episode. Our patron Facebook and Discord groups available as well. Patron podcast feed and much more. All at robhaswebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.